Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IndusInd Bank Limited Analyst Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the address concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumant Kathpalia, MD and CEO, IndusInd Bank Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, and thank you for joining the call at short notice. We have made a stock exchange disclosure post our board meeting and wanted to answer if there are any queries relating to that. During an internal review of processes relating to other assets and other liability accounts of the derivative portfolio, the bank has noted some discrepancies. Since then, the bank's internal review has estimated an adverse impact of 2.35% on the bank's net worth as of December 24. The difference has been accumulated over a period of time. The bank's profitability and capital adequacy remains healthy to absorb this one-time impact. Just to reiterate, the issue was identified by the bank. We also appointed an external advisor to review the processes, ascertain the root cause. While the impact is largely in the range mentioned earlier, we should have all the explanations once the final report is submitted by the advisors. We can now take questions. I also have Arun, who heads our global markets and is deputy CEO, and Indrajit with me to answer any specific queries.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Chintan Joshi from Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Good evening. A few questions. So firstly, which area is these derivatives linked to? So are these hedging? Are these trading derivatives? Like, what is the exact area in which these derivatives were applied to? Secondly, where is the corresponding gain booked? Which line item in the P&L? 2.35% of equity will probably reflect somewhere in the P&L. Is it on the NII line or would it be on the trading line? Would be interesting to understand what adjustments we need to make to historical numbers to reflect this 2.35%. And thirdly, when can we expect this investigation to be completed? So that we know that this issue is behind us.
Okay, thank you for your question. I think, So where these hedging instruments of derivatives are used by the balance sheet management desk, which is also the ALM desk of the bank. What really emanates is on account of the foreign currency deposits and the borrowings in foreign currency, which lead to a balance sheet in foreign currency. For converting them into INR, the derivatives are used. That was your first question. Second question is, where did the income line go to? In most cases, it went to the interest income line. So that is where it is. Number three, when do you expect the closure of the external agency? We believe that should come around end of quarter four.
Okay, so it's a relatively quick resolution. So in terms of the NII line, can I just check if you would give us some idea of these statements, perhaps for the last 9 months, this year at least, if not for the previous year, just so that we can understand what was over accrued on the NII line. If you could disclose that in your presentation with the results, that would be helpful.
Yes, we will. We will actually disclose the full information along with the result, or maybe prior to the results itself, and we will make sure that you get the full information.
Thank you. And then finally, while I have you, could I ask you for an update of what MFI trends are you seeing, if that's something you'd like to cover on this call?
So the MFI, like we said, I think, whatever. So the flows into the X bucket look very good, except in Karnataka, where I think the flows are now stabilizing. But otherwise, the flows are looking very good in the other parts of our business. Of course, the October, November flows, which we said will flow, I think have flown, and I think you will see a elevated number this quarter on the flows. And we will also make sure that our 30+ actually reflects the right, where we reflect what is the normal view, and we may take some extra hits on account of that. So we should be very fine on our numbers as we go forward from quarter one onwards. So quarter four should be the bottom of the pyramid on this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Rahul Jain from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Sumant, and Indrajit, and thanks for doing this call. Just a couple of questions. So just wanted to understand, you know, how would this be rectified? So will it go through the book value or will it go through the P&L? I.e., like you said, interest income, so will there be reversal for the accumulated amount, or how would this be reflected?
So I think we are in discussions, as of now. We would actually, I think general reserves cannot be touched, and I think we'll have to take it through the P&L.
Okay, okay. And this would be over what period, Sumant? This is last 1.5.
We are saying quarter four, but let's see if we get any dispenser, but I would like to just close it in quarter four if we can.
Got it. Second is, look, the amount is large in absolute terms, right? I mean, the income that got booked. So can you just give us some background as to how this got identified and the scope of the external party valuation? What all will it cover? Any particular related transactions in the local books, etc., that also needs to be covered under this, that, you know, eventually the amount is well within this range, or could this possibly be also higher if the scope were to be expanded?
So I think as part of the circular which came in the September 23, I think we started reviewing our derivatives book, and I think as effective April 1, 2024, the new guidelines for internal trades had to be discontinued. I think we started reviewing whatever our internal trade book was, and I think we started observing some discrepancies in our businesses, which was identified by September or October, and then we hired the external agency to start reviewing our business. And that is why we are comfortable that by March end or April early, we should be able to identify the gap, and it seems to be in line with what we are saying. But we want to be very sure about it right now because it's still not validated completely. Having said that, let me hand over to Arun and on the whether we are comfortable with the derivative books right now and effective April 1, 2024, how are we running our business?
Yeah, so effective April 1, we can confirm that there will be no internal trades in our book. We've not entered into any internal trades. The internal trades that were there prior to that period, which were existing on April 1, have been unwound and all according to mark-to-markets taken. There will be a small PV impact which will keep on dropping because these are unwinding of trades, which is insignificant in nature over the tenor or maturity of these internal trades. We now only do external trades with counterparties, market counterparties, for hedging our entire balance sheet foreign currency book.
Thanks. Can I ask a follow-on on this?
Yeah.
I would not be an expert on this, but my understanding was that you know, the banks were not allowed to run you know, any book which is unhedged over the night. So how could, you know, these internal trades be so large that the impact is so significant? Maybe I'm missing in my understanding, but and I believe this underlying is the foreign exchange contract, so this is linked to any particular industry like gems and jewelry, etc., or this is purely from the borrowing standpoint that you were doing earlier, that these hedges were pertaining to. Can you just give us some more color on that?
Yeah, sure. So I think your first question, you are absolutely right. We do not run any unhedged positions on the balance sheet side of the business, right? So that is a confirmation I can give you, and right from the beginning itself. Whatever foreign currency comes, if we keep it in foreign currency, if we do not need to hedge it, it will be kept in foreign currency. If it is converted into INR, it is hedged for the tenor, underlying tenor, all right? So that way we were hedged all the time. Number two, what was the second?
Why did such a large number
came up? Okay, the large number came up because there was a process that was always being followed by the bank right from the inception of these transactions for the internal trades that were done by the desk. Now, let me just give you a bit on the internal trades for the desk also. So, internal trades were entered only for trades which had little liquidity in the external market. For example, 3 to 5 year yen deposit coming in to be swapped into INR, or a 8 or a 10 year dollar borrowing from a multilateral. So these are the typical trades that were entered. We used to take market quotes from at least 3 odd different sources before these internal trades were contracted. I think the issue came, and that is what came to our notice, is when, let's put this to the external leg. So when you do this internal trade with the trading desk will in turn go out and hedge the trade itself, because you got to be within your risk limits that are put up, what they've got to work within. So the external trade was mark to market, while the internal trade was on swap cost accounting or swap valuation. These two legs would vary during the period of contract but converge on maturity. Now, what happens is, in the interim period, if you were to repay your borrowings, you would unwind that trade, and there are lots of cases where we did repay some of these foreign currency borrowings as well, where the internal trades were unwound. And it is in those cases that we found that one of the trades was hitting our P&L and the other was hitting our asset book. So that is where the difference came in. This was a practice that was being followed over a period of time.
Understood. That's very helpful. And last question is it linked to any particular sector, like I asked earlier? Or
no, sorry. As I mentioned, these are all balance sheet trades. Balance sheet trades are only on account of the balance of the bank's procurement of foreign currency borrowings or deposits. Nothing got to do with any client transaction in reference to what you had asked earlier.
Got it. Very helpful. And so therefore, we should not extrapolate it into the next few quarters in terms of the business growth, whatever.
No, nothing got to do with that. And in fact, as MD also said, our entire objective would be to get the validation of whatever comes out as the number, because this is an internal number that we've arrived at, which is an approximate number but not an exact number. And once that is there, it's our endeavor to take it to take the impact in the financial statements.
Got it. And I guess RBI has also been looped into it. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. RBI has been looped in. And I think we gave a preliminary update last week, and we gave a final update now.
Got it. Appreciate it. Very comforting. Thanks so much, Arun and Inderjeet. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sameer Bise from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to ask that, obviously, given the overall macro fronts, multiple issues generally facing, how one would be comfortable in terms of what we have guided to the market till now? That's one. And secondly, would you be able to comment if the RBS is over for the bank? These are my two questions.
RBS was over for the bank 3 months ago. The Reserve Bank supervision, are you talking, right?
Yes.
That has been over. And that, there I don't think,
October,
I think
October,
that was over in September, October. This was a different issue which was discovered, and we informed the regulator about it. And then we continue with this process. That's a separate issue. These don't link these issues up. Now, and that, I think, we have the business performance during this quarter also continues the way we had guided the market. We will continue to meet the targets of what we have said. And from quarter one onwards, like I said, we should be back to what we wanting to do, and our credit cost will start showing a declining, because microfinance would have stabilized by that. We would take whatever cost we have to take in the credit in quarter four for microfinance.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mahrukh Adajania from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So I just wanted to check that a couple of things. Firstly, you said that these were over time. So what is the time period where these trades were detected? What time frame or how many months?
So these were continuing, our practices of such were continuing for more than 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, 5 to 7 years.
7 years.
5 to 7 years.
So this is when we started the derivatives desk. It's approximately at that time itself the process was started.
Okay, but that, the transactions that you're talking about right now have been over what period?
Similar period.
Similar period.
Yeah, so it's the similar period. So it's about a process that was put in place, which we realize now based on, you know, this new framework that we had to adopt on 1st April. And that is when we said, okay, there seems to be a large difference when we got to know about it. And then we started doing an internal bit, but also parallelly we said, okay, in order to revalidate what we believe is coming out, should be revalidated by the external agency as well. So to answer your question, yes, so it's over a period of 5-7 years with no change in the schema that or anything in the intermittent period.
Got it. And you said that from April 1, 2024, it's a different methodology.
Not a different methodology, but now we are not doing these sort of transactions anymore, which I explained earlier, the reason for doing these internal transactions. So we are not doing them at all. So as a result, the methodology is like how you would value any external trade. So there's no change as such in accounting. This classification.
Okay, and my other question is that which division of the bank would you hold responsible for this?
I think we are getting deeper into it, Mahrukh, but as I said, because this is a amount or the impact is of a material nature, we thought it's only prudent to come upfront based on our own internal review, as I'm saying, to disclose this to the market. To answer those questions, yes, we will absolutely answer your questions in full transparency as and when we get the final report of the external agency and corroborated with our financial statements.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from Bhavik Dave from Nippon India Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Sir, just two things. One is on this 2.35% of net worth, and you mentioned your inspection is still going on from with external agencies. You think that number will be materially different in terms of outcome, because you mentioned that this is a ballpark number that the internal guys have maybe picked up. Can the number be significantly different from this, or it will be like 5, 10, 20 basis point here and there? What would your judgment be like when it comes to, because you've done a thorough review, an external guy will do a similar kind of review, so can the outcomes be materially different, or it will be like in the range of 20-30 basis point in that range?
So I think very difficult to answer this question. We have done all our due diligence when we've come and disclosed it. I think it's an estimate right now because the validation is still happening. And as the validation gets completed, we will come and disclose the number. In my view, I think the number should not be so much difference. It should be range bound, like you said. But very difficult to answer that question accurately right now.
Sure. And the other part I wanted to understand is this is something that you all picked up in an internal inspection, right? Like not RBI or some other.
It is our internal
checking.
We have done it through our internal process.
Perfect. And lastly, in terms of, you also mentioned that the inspection, like the RBI annual review is done. So RBI from their end, considering we've just ended in terms of our CEO extension, in that context, it is very clear that there's no other impending investigation or any other review that is going on in the bank, right? That will be a fair estimate, that this is the only thing that we are working on and there's nothing else that our internal or external in terms of improvement, in terms of processes. Is that a fair understanding?
RBI continues to do thematic reviews in an organization. So they continue
sure.
to KYC reviews, they continue to do loan asset reviews, they continue to microfinance reviews, they continue to do credit card reviews, they continue to corporate bank reviews. So it's an ongoing process with RBI. To say that I think there is nothing material right now which is happening to my knowledge, and I don't think we are to be worried about.
Fair point. That's very useful, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Prakhar Sharma from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for doing this call. Just wanted to check, you know, this 2.35% in rupee crore might be, let's say, closer to 2100 crores. Would this have been, let's say, part of your interest cost had the accounting been done correctly?
So some part of it would have been in trading income, some part would have been in the swap cost.
Mostly in the swap cost.
So swap cost will go to the interest cost, right?
Yeah.
Understood. And, you know, the April 1, 2024 reference, just to reconfirm, does that mean that since April 24, the transactions were being correctly, you know, recorded because practically those trades, you know, the structure of the trades was not happening, you were not doing internal trades, so it was...
Yes, Prakhar, absolutely correct.
So practically, the entire 2.35% is relating to FY24 and earlier.
Earlier, correct. Earlier.
Okay, understood. That's okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from MB Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
So just a couple of questions. Just one, in this, in these derivative transaction, how does the audit typically happen? Is it done by an external auditor or is it done by an internal auditor?
So there are four types of audits which happen. So first of all, understand the structure of treasury. They have a front office, a mid office and a back office and a concurrent audit which continues to happen. Second, there is an internal audit which continues to happen, and also they take support of external agencies, the Big Four and everything, to do the audit. Then there is a stat audit which happens on these on an ongoing basis, and then the compliance audit and then the RBI audit. All these audits continue to happen on treasury on a regular basis.
So in the sense, why was it picked up in the last 3 months, since it's gone through multiple layers of audit and the auditors have signed the balance sheets for these transactions? What has picked up in the last 3 months for this issue to come up?
Yeah, I think, you know, those are questions which we will answer in detail once our review is complete by the external, because I think it's important that we are, I mean, as I said, you know, based on this new circular, we did our own internal review. So it wasn't that, and it wasn't, so I would say that those questions, yes, we are also in the same level of finding out as to where was this amiss from. So I'm sorry, I really can't answer it right now, but once we have those answers, we'll be absolutely transparent in getting back to you.
Sure, thanks for this. But see, just to add to this, see, the CFO had resigned a couple of months back. Is there any link to the fact that there has been a transaction around this where he was aware and hence he was not comfortable?
No. He was aware of this transaction, but I think his resignation, and if you see his resignation, is in public domain, and I think that he was always
a little bit,
but I don't think it is linked to only this transaction that he was. He had a different narrative on why he was leaving. And I think that has been, and I think we have a fine with it.
And we are disclosing this, right? So I think internally we've decided and we are disclosing the same. So if there was an issue, I do not know. I mean...
So we could have delayed the LODR disclosure and saying let us find the and validate the accounts and then we will numbers. And I don't think that is the right way. I think we should be upfront in what we have and we want to disclose to the market.
Sure. Suman, just one clarification. In the third quarter results, you could have kind of reported that, you know, we are kind of looking at this transaction as well, right? Because it's been under work for some time now.
No, I just think that I don't think the review was pending and there was no available thing to say that there is a gap. I did not know that there was a gap.
Yeah, we've never had a gap and there were so many audits which have gone through. It's just that we realize it now over a period of last 1 or 2 months. That, and I said that once it started coming in, we continue to review, dig deeper. And I think we said that we should now disclose it.
And you know, I mean, we also mentioned that this data pertains to a very long period of time, right? And as a result, once you say something, you should have some substance behind saying it. And once we've got the substance, while again I'm reiterating, that's all internal and yet got to be verified or this thing with the external agency. But we've always thought it prudent to be upfront and be transparent.
Okay. And last question, Sumant. Has this got any bearing to the fact that the appointment for you has been for 1 year? Or has there been any conversation on this issue? So the board has approved for 3 years, but you've got only 1 year.
So I think that's for the regulator to answer, and I think of course this would have had a bearing because they were aware of this issue. There was some inkling towards the issue, and I think I don't know what is the rationale for them to give me 1 year, but I think they're uncomfortable with the way my leadership skills of running the bank is, and we have to respect that. And I think this is a test, litmus test that for the bank as well as from a succession point that we see how to take the bank forward. I don't think the BAU of the bank will suffer. I don't think our growth agenda will get off the track. And I think I remain committed for 1 year to the bank. And I think let's see how the process goes. The board will evaluate external as well as internal candidate for the CEO position. I don't know whether they evaluate me or they evaluate somebody else. That's for them to decide.
Fair point, Sumant. Best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as our last question for today. I will now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumant for closing comments.
Thank you for joining the call. I think it was a very short time which we gave you to come to this, but it was a critical element. I just want to tell you that the bank has enough reserve as well as capital to manage this transition. I wanted to be upfront with you to say that we are in a position where we are seeing some losses which are coming in. I think rather than coming in March and April and doing it, I think what we did in the microfinance, it hurt us very badly. So I think this is just being transparent and telling you. As we get more information, we will do another call in April to make sure that we are above and as early as possible to make sure that you get enough information about what has really happened. Thank you, and you can contact me or Indrajit for any further clarification.
Thank you. On behalf of IndusInd Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.